Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for holding and welcome to the Ourofino Saúde Animal First Quarter 2019 Earnings Results Conference Call. Today we have with us Mr. Jardel Massari, CEO, and Kleber Gomes, Chief Finance and IR Officer. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and simultaneously translated, and all participants will be in listen-only mode. Ensuing this, we will go on to the question and answer section when further instructions will be given. Should any participant require assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. We have a simultaneous webcast that may be accessed through Ourofino's website at ir.ourofino.com. At this address, you will find the webcast first quarter 2019, where you can find the slide presentation. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that forward-looking statements made during this conference call referring to the projections and operational and financial goals of Ourofino are based on beliefs and assumptions of Ourofino's management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Ourofino and lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in the forward-looking statements. I would now like to turn the floor over to Mr. Massari. You may proceed, sir.
Good afternoon to all of you, and thank you once again for participating at our earnings results conference call for the first quarter 2019. We're extremely satisfied with the 2018 ranking information that was disseminated throughout the first quarter. The Animal Health Association released its data for the year 2018, and we are proud to inform you that once again, we have achieved the third place in the general ranking of revenues for companies in Brazil. In Mexico, the INFARMED also released its ranking, and we were the second company with the most growth in 2018. The same happened in Colombia, where APROVIT also stated that we were the second company with the greatest growth. These important milestones are the result of work with a focus on sustainable growth that has been carried out by our teams in the last few years. With a view to the future, the biologics project is already beginning to generate revenues that come from the recently launched Safexio vaccine. This is a product with a great technical differential as it immunizes animals with a completely novel technology against circovirus, a relevant challenge for swine breeding worldwide. We are confident that this product will bring productivity gains for the swine breeders. The other vaccines in our pipeline continue to be developed and will help us to seek one of the greatest coverages of the products in the market. For production animals, the first quarter was weaker in terms of revenues due to the typical seasonality of the animal health industry, and for this first period of 2019, we do observe a reduction vis-à-vis the first quarter of 2018. We highlight that the variation observed in the revenues of this segment was negatively impacted by a greater concentration of sales at the end of March, not acknowledged in accounting terms during the quarter, simply due to lack of time to deliver the merchandise to the clients. The sales have already been delivered and recognized at the beginning of the month of April and will appear in the results of the second quarter. In companion animals, net revenues were of 20 million, a growth of 3% vis-à-vis the first quarter of 2018, and in line with our budgeting for the quarter. It is important to underscore our confidence in the performance of the coming quarter. In international operations, revenue grew 48% in reais and 36% in local currency, attaining 12 million. Mexico and Colombia were responsible for 90% of this amount, with the largest quarterly share registered in the segment. The focus on these two countries with the work of registering the new programs has been carried out in the last few years, along with an expansion of client portfolios. In the first quarter, we had a scheduled stop down at the plant for overhauling in some segments, and with this, the cost that would be observed by the products in inventory were directly allocated to the results in an amount of 7.5 million reais, impacting the gross margin in a non-recurrent fashion, and without which the gross margin for the quarter would have been 57% in line with the first quarter of 2018. The robust operating cash generation deserves highlighting. It was 41 million, a growth of 64% vis-a-vis the first quarter 2018. Additionally, net debt maintains itself at a level of 1.0 times net debt EBITDA. I would now like to give the floor to our financial officer and IR officer, Kleber Gomez, who will comment on the details of the period. Good afternoon to all, and thank you, Jardel. We're going to speak about the company's net revenues. The company presented net revenues of 91 million in the first quarter of 2019, a slight drop of 1% vis-a-vis the same period 2018. In April, the accumulated gross revenues for the first quarter of 2019 had a growth of 6% more vis-a-vis the same quarter in 2018. In the production animal segment, the revenue was 60 million for the first quarter, a drop of 8% when compared to the first quarter of 2018. And the main impact is the loss of volumes for deliveries carried out in April after the closing of the first quarter. The companion animal segment had net revenues of 20 million in the first quarter of 2019, a growth of 3% vis-a-vis the first quarter of 2018, reflecting the price raises. I would like to underscore that we are very confident in the results of the coming quarters and in our activities to generate demand, as well as the visits that our team carries out to veterinarians. International operations segment had net revenues of 12 million in the first quarter, an increase of 48% vis-a-vis the same quarter in 2018. In local currency, the increase was 36%. This is due to an increase of volumes in Mexico and Colombia and the positive exchange rate that was already mentioned when speaking about the local currency. We will now speak about our gross margin. Gross margin in the first quarter was 48%, a drop of 9 percentage points vis-a-vis the first quarter 2018. The main impact was the scheduled shutdown of the plant for maintenance with an impact of 7.5 million. This is a non-recurrent impact of 8 percentage points in gross margin. Production animal segment had a gross margin of 40% in the first quarter, a drop of 13 percentage points vis-a-vis the first quarter 2018, with the impact due to the scheduled shutdown of 6.6 million that ended up in an impact of 12 percentage points on gross margin. The companion animal segment had a gross margin of 69% with a reduction of 2 percentage points vis-a-vis the same period in 2018, with the impact of the scheduled shutdown of the plant. Now, the international operations segment had a gross margin of 56% in the first quarter with a decrease of 6 percentage points vis-a-vis the same quarter in 2018. Once again, due to the scheduled shutdown of the plant and 3 percentage points impact on gross margin. When it comes to our SG&A and EBITDA, we would like to highlight that SG&A added up to 49 million, including the collective bargaining for 2018. Besides is the non-recognition of revenues that have been invoiced and delivered at the beginning of April already stopped contributing to the dilution of expenses during the quarter. EBITDA in the first quarter of 2019 stood at zero, a decrease of 13 percentage points vis-a-vis the same quarter in 2018, reflecting a lower gross margin for the reasons explained previously and the loss of dilution of expenses with sales SG&A due to revenues not recognized in the quarter. When it comes to income tax and social taxes, the first quarter of 2019 added up to $4 million, an increase of 3% vis-a-vis the same quarter in 2018. This result shows the stabilization of net debt that it stands at 1.7 times net debt EBITDA since the first quarter of 2018. Income tax and social contribution in the first quarter was of $3 million compared to $200,000 in the first quarter of 2018. The result of the first quarter presented a tax rate of 30%, more aligned with our tax rate, but you should observe that the measurement of income tax and social contribution is done based on fiscal basis. Net loss for the first quarter added up to $6 million, reverting the profit that we had presented in the first quarter to 18. This is due to the moving back of the EBITDA due to the loss of gross margin and the scheduled slowdown, once again, in the sale of merchandise with the effects that were not recognized. We would now like to speak about the company indebtedness. In the first quarter of 2019, the net debt over EBITDA ratio was 1.7 times. This indicator has remained stable since the first quarter of 2018. The average cost of debt was of 7% a year upon the close of the quarter, compared with the historical indicator throughout the last quarter. Three-fourths of our debt is in the long term, and we do have short-term debt amortizations. When it comes to the company's cash generation, we would like to highlight it in the first quarter. There was the amortization of debts totaling $2 million, a capex of $15 million, and the payment of taxes more than offset by the operational cash generation of $20 million. This figure was 64% above the operating cash generation in the first quarter to 2018. We will continue making investments in new developments and launches in 2019. Investments represented $11 million, representing 11% of our net revenues. This is above our historical average if we consider the lower revenues for the quarter impacted by the non-recognition of revenues, excluding this we would be more aligned with our historical results. In 2019, we began to invoice our new vaccine, Sarpisu, that is a pioneer in the treatment of sarcovirus and represents a significant cross-immunization for PV26A and 26B. This is one among the many projects that are being developed, and we're very proud to be able to be in the biological market. With this, we hope that 2019 will continue to be very important when it comes to our long-term planning. I would like to return the floor to the operator to now go on to the question and answer session. Thank you. With this, we will go on to the question and answer session. Should you have a question, please press star 1. Mrs. Olivia Petrolina from J.P. Morgan would like to pose a question. Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. In truth, I have three questions. The first refers to the impact on the revenues that you had. Now, when we look at the trend for companion animal revenues, which is your outlook? Will there be an increase or a more normalized trend in the second quarter already? My second question refers to the gross margin. When we look at the line items and the impact of the plant shutdown, are these the figures that we should base ourselves going forward, or will you have some sort of operational leverage and expect higher margins going forward? The third question refers to the launch that comes from your biological plant, and this gives you greater visibility. What can we expect in terms of new launches at the plant? Olivia, thank you very much for your questions. If I do not fully answer, please state this. We haven't given you the figure of the CapEx, but it was one of the highest in history. We don't normally like to speak about CapEx, but once again, there were strong investments made. Once again, in the revenues that have already ended for April, we do expect that there will be a growth. When it comes to companion animals, in fact, we did have a somewhat weaker quarter. We are carrying out a very stringent inventory control. This is something we always tend to do, and this is how we control our volumes. Nevertheless, we observe that we have a continuous demand, and we hope that this will return very strongly in the coming quarters. Once again, we're very confident when it comes to companion animals. When it comes to the gross margin, we very openly have spoken about what happened. We do have a very streamlined plan, but we needed to carry out this shutdown to expand some of our areas. We also carried out several different maintenance, and of course, this exerted pressure on the margin, which had already been expected. So throughout the year, we do believe that we will come to levels that are very close to what we had in 2018. We do not think we will have either very low or very high margins. As I mentioned previously, we are somewhat deleveraged in terms of this operation because we are expanding our new vaccine plant. We still have very small volumes. We are just introducing the circovirus vaccine, and this is a vaccine that will be sold mainly to the swine market, and the change in vaccines has to be done in a very careful and surveyed fashion. Now, we do expect to have a boost because of this new biological plant. And in terms of our other plants, we will have an increase in our production volume and perhaps allow us to become less deleveraged. As we get to the end of the year, I believe that we will attain results very similar to 2018 or perhaps somewhat higher. We are working in a very strategic fashion. We have not truly disseminated this launch very much, but we do have very important plans for companion animals and for swine breeding for the coming 5 years. And we're working to be able to confirm our future launches. Does this respond to all your questions, Olivia? Yes. Thank you very much, and thank you for your questions. Caterini from Bank of Brazil would like to pose a question. Hey, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. When it comes to the international operation segment, especially Colombia, and when it comes to the challenges in those countries, what is happening with distribution and which is your outlook going forward? Caterini, thank you very much for your questions. We are highly confident in our international operations, and we are referring to Mexico, which is the second-largest market of Latin America, and Colombia, which is the third-largest market. If you look at our performance since 2017, the greatest growth was in Mexico. In 2017, we were also the second company with the greatest growth in Colombia, and now we have been able to reiterate this performance. We're the second company with the greatest growth in both of these markets. Of course, we began very small. We have been working during the last few years to complement our portfolio in those markets and to create commercial and marketing teams in both countries. We see that Mexico advances somewhat more slowly because of the different structure that they have. In Mexico, we're working more focused on the training of the team based on the culture. We're trying to move away from the distribution culture in Mexico and go straight into resale. And this work has been quite promising, but in our view, it is a slower process than we had imagined. And we are certain, nevertheless, that we will be very successful as we have been up to present. When it comes to Colombia, the outlook is highly positive after a period of difficulties that the country underwent. We see that there has been significant growth, and the people in Colombia tend to be very proactive. They work hard, and this has helped us a great deal in terms of our business in that country. Therefore, this year we had a pleasant surprise, and all of this thanks to our work in terms of products. Once again, we're highly confident in terms of both of these international operations. Thank you very much. We would like to remind you that should you wish to ask a question, please press star one. Mr. Pedro from CTI Invest would like to pose a question. Good afternoon to all of you. And to continue speaking about international operations, I would like to know which was the cost of the volume for Mexico and Colombia. Does Mexico have specific products, or does it have a specificity? Good afternoon, Pedro, and thank you once again for your question. In truth, it's a work of penetration into a market. First of all, we had to set up a team, and we have set up a very strong team, especially in Mexico, where we're working more on generation demand. And we now have technicians and vets that visit the clients, generating greater demand for the products. Once again, we're not a very well-known brand in that market, so this represents very important work for us. And we do have a concentration of specific products. One of the lines that we have been working with more recently in Colombia is our pet line. These are smaller markets, but markets with a very strong growth. And what we are doing is to offer these countries products that they did not have previously. The portfolio is not complete, but we're slowly adding to it, and we might be missing one or two products at the most. Caterini from Bank of Brazil would like to pose another question. If you allow me one more question, if you could give us more detail in terms of the non-recognition of the sales that you carried out in the first quarter. Caterine, our animal health segment has had a sales concentration in the first quarter. This is a very old practice that we have attempted to change, But in practice, we still have not been able to change the market. The market does tend to have a concentration of sales in the last days of the month, as we are a company that works in a different way from our competitors. We go straight to the cattle-raising stores to carry out our sales. We have a more difficult operation. We work in the Northeast. We work in several sections of the country, and we can only invoice once we deliver the product to the client. Now, at the end of March, we had a very high concentration, a very high volume, but we were unable to fully invoice and send everything to the clients during those days. Now, had this not been the case, we would have been very aligned with our budget. And this is what allows us confidence in terms of the coming quarters of the year. The figure does seem to be worse than it truly is. It's due to the concentration that we have in the market and that issue that we had. We do not have a distributor, which would be easier in terms of logistics, but we go directly to the cattle raising stores to service a great number of clients per month. Now, which is your outlook for the coming quarter and the year as a whole? When it comes to outlooks, we're quite confident, especially in terms of production animals. We think that this is a very good period. There's a good price for milk and other products, and we have swine flu in China, and we also sell protein to them or a substitute protein. We also sell them a great deal of poultry. And, of course, this benefits the Brazilian breeder. We also have the production of grains, which is very relevant for China. There might be a drop in this, and this will, of course, affect the price of some of our components used in our products. If we add all of these factors, and if we think about our work for the entire year, the demand and the marketing that we carry out on television and in certain channels, now the work that we carry out with veterinarians and companion animals, we think that this will be a very productive year, very similar to what we saw in 2018. At least this is what we expect. Thank you. We would like to remind you that should anybody wish to pose a question, please press star one. Once again, should you wish to pose a question, please press star one. Mr. Pedro Fejoni from CTI Investments would like to pose a question. I confess that I didn't hear the response to the first question, but I will listen to the recording subsequently. I have another question simply out of curiosity. Which is your outlook of the situation of China with the virus and all the other factors? Is there any study, any research or investigation that you're carrying out? What is happening there? Pedro, an excellent question. I did refer to this somewhat, but I will underscore what I said. From the viewpoint of the animal market, what is happening in China is a very lamentable situation. The animals have had to be sacrificed, and there's truly nothing else that can be done. When we look at this from the Brazilian viewpoint, there are two aspects that favor the cattle raising market and that could also give a boost to the agricultural market. When it comes to cattle raising, the population of swine that ended up being sacrificed in China is a very large population. Once again, there will be a scarcity in the market and there will need to have the supply of protein. Brazil, of course, is one of the great exporters, and this will have to be done in a very rapid fashion, but this is a natural path, and we will have to sell substitute proteins or meats to China. Now, when it comes to agriculture, when it comes to grain production in general, this is a destination for corn and soybeans for the feed of swine, as the swine population has had a severe decline. Perhaps there will also be a drop in the exports of the grains from Brazil, but it ends up being positive for cattle raising as a whole. There will have to be a price adjustment because of this new demand, and this could help the cost of the producer in Brazil, who will perhaps have to sell the grains at a somewhat lower price. In China, the drop is of 150 or 200 million head. That is a significant drop. We don't have the right figures. Of course, there has to be a good sanitary control for the disease in Brazil as well. And cattle raising, which is our main segment, is now going into a very productive cycle. It did have a low cycle some time ago. There were less animals in the fields, but it will now go into a more productive cycle. And for the coming 3 years, I think we will be very productive in terms of cattle raising. And we should have very good milk prices, very good beef prices. We do work with some market consultants that help us with business intelligence at the company. And what we are looking on is the production of cattle raising that should have an increase during the coming years. Very well. Thank you very much. We would like to remind you that should anybody wish to pose a question, please press star 1. Once again, should you wish to pose a question, please press star 1. At this moment, we would like to close the question and answer session. We will return the floor to Mr. Massari for his closing remarks. To conclude, we continue working arduously, following our goal, which is to reimagine animal health, always in the quest for the better solutions to service all of our clients in Brazil and abroad. We would like to thank the shareholders for their trust in the work that we carry out. Our investor relations team continues to be at your entire disposal should you require any clarifications. Have a good afternoon. The conference call for the first quarter 2019 for Ouro Fino Saúde Animal ends here. We would like to thank everybody for their participation. Have a good afternoon.